You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Monday, August 17, 2026. The waiting is the hardest part. A look at West Coast LPG exports growth to date as Asia waits for more. Published by Mike Dunn. AltaGas recently announced a delay to the planned startup of its 56,000 barrels per day Ridley Island Energy Export Facility, or REF, on the northwestern coast of British Columbia, or BC, from late 2026 to March 2027. The delay means East Asian buyers of liquefied petroleum gases, LPGs, or propane and butane won't have the benefit of increased fuel supplies from one of their nearest potential sources for the upcoming winter. So they may soon discover that, as Tom Petty once sang, the waiting is the hardest part. Phase 1 of REEF is expected to be the first of several planned projects to add LPG export capacity on the BC coast over the next several years, which could result in a more than doubling of Western Canadian LPG exports to Asia. In today's RBN blog, the first in a short series, we'll review the three existing LPG marine export terminals on North America's west coast and how their growth has impacted other markets for Western Canadian LPGs. We'll start by looking at the North American West Coast's oldest, and until 2019, its only marine LPG export terminal, at Ferndale, Washington. Built in the 1970s for seasonal LPG storage to help balance the needs of nearby refineries, the facility's then-operator Texaco began LPG exports on a regular basis in 1989, after the Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA, established limits on the emissions of volatile organic compounds, or VOCs, from motor gasoline that reduced the amount of butane that could be blended with gasoline. To satisfy regulatory requirements for the Texaco merger with Chevron in 2001, Texaco's stake in the Anacortes, Washington, refinery was sold, leaving the Ferndale facility's owner, Chevron, with no nearby refinery in Washington. Chevron sold the Ferndale terminal to Petrogas in 2014. At the time, Petrogas was partially owned by AltaGas, Idemitsu Koshan Company Limited, a Japanese energy company, and SAM Holdings. In subsequent years, AltaGas acquired the other stakes and in 2022 became the 100% owner. Although Ferndale's rated export capacity is 70,000 barrels per day, annual volumes are much less than that. Shipments averaged record highs of about 46,000 barrels per day in each of the past 2 years, split roughly 50-50 between propane and butane, as the terms of the facility's aquatic lands lease includes a cap on marine traffic. The facility can load LPGs onto very large gas carriers, or VLGCs, and is pipeline connected to nearby refineries. It is the only marine terminal on North America's west coast capable of exporting butane, but that will change once the REEF terminal starts up. Ferndale has two above-ground storage tanks, both of which can store either propane or butane, with a combined capacity of 800,000 barrels. The west coast's second LPG export terminal started up in 2019. The Ridley Island Propane Export Terminal, built and owned by a 70-30 joint venture of AltaGas, Operator, and VAPOC, is typically referred to as RIPET. The terminal is located on the Pacific coast of northeastern BC on Ridley Island, a few miles south of the town of Prince Rupert, home to North America's deepest ice-free harbor, allowing propane from RIPET to be loaded onto VLGCs year-round. Following Canadian federal approval for a doubling of the facility's 25-year export license to 92,000 barrels per day in late 2021, improvements to its rail unloading capabilities, and other logistical and marketing efforts, export volumes grew from about 42,000 barrels per day in 2020 to a record 81,000 barrels per day last year. The terminal's propane storage consists of a large, double-walled, refrigerated and pressurized tank with a capacity of about 600,000 barrels. AltaGas lists the facility's export capacity at 85,000 barrels per day currently. A methanol removal project is expected to be complete by year-end, which will improve the purity of the propane so RIPET's cargoes can reach all Asian markets and ensure a fungible propane quality between RIPET and the new REEF terminal. Under terms of a multi-year agreement signed in 2017 with Japanese LPG firm Astemis Energy, a joint venture between Idemitsu Koshan and Mitsubishi Corporation, Astemis agreed to purchase at least half of RIPET's annual volumes. In 2021, Pembina Pipeline Corporation started up a smaller propane export terminal only about a mile away from RIPET, on Watson Island. Named the Prince Rupert Terminal, or PRT, propane exports averaged close to 19,000 barrels per day in both 2024 and 2025, According to data available to subscribers to our bi-weekly NGL Voyager report, the facility has an export license for 25,000 barrels per day annually and has three pressurized storage tanks with a combined capacity of around 140,000 barrels. Unlike the harbor off the west side of nearby Ridley Island, the shallower waters off Watson Island to its east currently restrict PRT to using only smaller, handy-sized carriers. Pembina is undertaking a $145 million Canadian dollars, $104 million US dollars, PRT optimization project, targeted for completion by mid-2028, that would add storage vessels and enable the facility to accommodate larger medium gas carrier, or MGC vessels. That should enable PRT's annual export volumes to get closer to its 25,000 barrels per day licensed capacity. All three export facilities, Ferndale, RIPET, and PRT, receive LPGs by rail, primarily from fractionators in Fort Saskatchewan, near Edmonton, Alberta. In addition, Ferndale has received supplies by rail from North Dakota Bakken producers and by pipeline from nearby refineries, while RIPET also receives some propane by rail from AltaGas's 25,000 barrels per day North Pine facility, the only custom fractionator in northeastern BC. AltaGas can use numerous Tier 1 rail providers to bring LPGs to Ferndale, including CN and CPKS, while CN is the only rail company with service to the Prince Rupert area. Combined propane shipments from these three West Coast marine export terminals have grown substantially over the past several years, including step-ups at RIPET at startup in 2019, and again in 2022 following the doubling of its export license, the startup of PRT in 2021, and to a lesser extent, higher exports from Ferndale. As noted earlier, in recent years about half of Ferndale's exports have been butane. We estimate total West Coast LPG exports averaged about 146,000 barrels per day in 2025, 123,000 barrels per day propane, 23,000 barrels per day butane, up about 115,000 barrels per day from only about 31,000 barrels per day in 2018. It should be no surprise that LPG exports from these locations go to East Asia, given the region's hunger for energy imports and the West Coast transit time advantage, a 15-day edge over U.S. Gulf Coast sources, and about 7 days versus Middle East sources. Propane exports from the RIPET and PRT facilities have historically gone predominantly to Japan, and to a lesser extent South Korea, but starting in 2025 China quickly became the dominant destination for propane exports out of the Prince Rupert area, implying that Astomos Energy's multi-year contract to buy at least half of RIPET's volumes has expired. From Ferndale, most propane and butane exports have gone to South Korea, and to a lesser extent, Japan. While West Coast marine exports of propane and butane have grown, so has Western Canadian output, thanks largely to rising production of oil sands, bitumen, and the tarry substances need for diluent, i.e., condensate. As Western Canada remains a significant net importer of diluent, much of which travels all the way to northern Alberta from Texas by pipeline, prices for condensate in Alberta are at a premium to natural gasoline prices in the U.S., and sometimes at a premium to WTI crude. These attractive prices have steered most of Western Canada's natural gas drilling toward more liquids-rich zones, particularly in the Montney and Duvernay formations. As condensate production has grown, so too has the output of byproducts, such as propane and butane. Next, let's look at how these growing exports have impacted the supply and disposition dynamics for Western Canadian propane. Marine exports of propane out of BC grew from zero to about 101,000 barrels per day between 2018 and 2025, eclipsing the pace of Western Canadian propane production, which grew by about 86,000 barrels per day over the same period to more than 260,000 barrels per day in 2025. Higher BC marine exports have been partially offset by lower Western Canada use, while net exports to the Ferndale terminal and other U.S. destinations, Eastern Canada and Mexico dropped substantially in 2020, but by 2025 had recovered to within about 4,000 barrels per day of 2018 levels. Unlike the propane dynamic, Western Canadian butane production grew much faster than West Coast butane exports from 2018-25, rising by about 37,000 barrels per day over this period to more than 150,000 barrels per day in 2025, whereas Ferndale butane exports rose by about 13,000 to 18,000 barrels per day, depending on the data source. Use of butane in Western Canada has picked up the slack, growing by about 22,000 barrels per day, while net shipments to all other markets, Ferndale included, grew by about 15,000 barrels per day, implying butane volume sent to North American markets other than to the Ferndale terminal were similar last year as in 2018. For those that closely follow Canadian LPG markets, We should note that our Western Canadian propane and butane numbers do not include about 70 to 80,000 barrels per day of LPG mix, roughly 2 to 1 propane to butane split, that is batched east on Enbridge's mainline pipeline system from Alberta to fractionators in Ontario and the U.S. Midwest. In part 2 of this miniseries, we will discuss industry plans to expand West Coast marine exports of LPGs by 86,000 barrels per day next year, and another 180,000 barrels per day over the medium term, look at supply and offtake arrangements, and examine how this export growth could impact legacy markets for Western Canadian propane and butane. The Waiting was written by Tom Petty and appears as the first song on side one of Top Petty and the Heartbreakers' fourth studio album, Hard Promises. Petty says the song's title was inspired by a Janis Joplin quote about touring, "I love being on stage and everything else is just waiting." It was released as a single in April 1981 and went to number 1 on the Billboard Top Tracks and number 19 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles Charts. Personnel on the record were Tom Petty, lead vocals, rhythm guitar, Mike Campbell, lead guitar, bass, Ben Montench, keyboards, backing vocals, Stan Lynch, drums, backing vocals, and Phil Jones, percussion. Hard Promises was recorded in 1980-81 at Sound City in Van Nuys, California, and Cherokee and Goodnight in Hollywood. Produced by Jimmy Iovine and Tom Petty, the album was released in May 1981. It went to number 5 on the Billboard 200 Albums chart and has been certified platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. The album's release was initially delayed by Petty voicing his objections to his label raising the retail price on his album by $1 over the usual list price. Petty won the battle and the LP was released under its usual list price. The album cover was shot by Joel Bernstein and features Petty in Aaron's Record Store in Hollywood. During the recording of the album, John Lennon was murdered in New York City. The run-out groove on the early US and Canadian pressings has We Love You JL etched in the vinyl. 3 singles were released from the LP. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers were an American rock band formed in Gainesville, Florida, in 1976. Tom Petty, Mike Campbell and Ben Montench were in the Gainesville band Mudcrutch, which released 1 single for Shelter Records in 1975. The 3 enlisted Gainesville bassist Ron Blair and Los Angeles drummer Stan Lynch to form the original version of the Heartbreakers in 1976. They released 16 studio albums, 10 live albums, a soundtrack album, 9 compilation albums, an EP, and 76 singles. They have sold more than 85 million records worldwide and were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2002, won a Grammy Award, and have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. The band broke up after the death of Tom Petty in October 2017 at the age of 66. All of the Heartbreakers have remained active after Petty's death. Mike Campbell has been the most visible, releasing 4 studio albums and 4 singles with his band, The Dirty Knobs. They will be touring the US through October, supporting their latest release, Mission of Mercy.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.